Monster Man, episode 196. Elves again, again, again. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are looking at another monster from the E chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And that monster is elves! This is the fourth episode that we have done about elves, because there's an elf section in the Monster Manual, an elf section in the Fiend Folio. We did a special episode about elves, and now there's an elf section in Monster Manual 2, so that makes 1, 2, 3, 4 elf episodes. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it does mean that elves are currently tied with dragons for the creature with the most episodes, I'm pretty sure, because I did a special episode about dragons. Like, every book has devils, every book has demons, every book has dragons, and every book has elves, but I only did specials on dragons and elves. I don't know why I bring this up, other than that I'm starting to suspect that the elves are proliferating in a way that's unhelpful. What I mean is that we're about to encounter two types of elves who are not really all that different from the existing types of elf. It's not like the Fiend Folio, where we got the drow, right? Those guys, I mean, they're in the Monster Manual as well, but they were significantly expanded in the Fiend Folio, basically as a piece of catch-up from a published scenario, and that gave them a character that was distinct from other types of elves in a meaningful way. Well, I'm going to talk about the other two, and I think my conclusion is likely to be that these guys could be less similar to other elves. Or they could not, I don't know. I'm going to try and suppress my personal antipathy toward elves, and we're going to look at this thing in a completely neutral and objective standpoint, okay? So let's start with the first of these useless wastes of space, the Gruagach. Yeah, the Gruagach, I should say. I'm used to thinking of them as being called Gruagach because that's the name of a fairy from Scottish folklore, and not to call myself out for being lowbrow or anything, but where I recognize it from is it's a monster from Hellboy comic books. Anyway, these guys are Gruagach, and a Gruagach with an A, well, two A's, is just another word for, like, a sprite, a bit like a brownie. So it's just another word that means elf or fairy. The Gruagach are wood elves, but they're even wood elfier than normal wood elves, or sylvan elves, as they're also called. They really don't like outsiders, they don't want to help you on your quest, and if you pass through their woodland, you may wind up falling into a spiked pit, which, conveniently, this entry gives rules for, so I like that. I do like that this is kind of, again, one of those entries that is a whole encounter in one place. That's the kind of thing that doesn't make an enormous amount of sense from a logical categorization point of view, but it makes a great deal of sense from a how is the DM using this book at the table point of view, which is the one that I'm really interested in. And for that matter, a tying a monster to a scene idea point of view. So, well done, Gruagach. Other than that, I mean, they're mechanically a wee bit different from Sylvan Elves, but basically, they're just slightly more insular and xenophobic compared to their mainstream Sylvan Elf counterparts. And actually, this provokes a thought in me, which I'm going to save until after we've talked about the next kind of elf. Now, the next kind of elf suffers from an unfortunate naming convention. They are called Valley Elves. Now, I understand that this is because they live in a valley, and indeed a particular valley within the world of Greyhawk, and we'll talk about that more in a moment as well. And I don't know if by 1983 the term Valley Girl had sort of become a thing, but it's either just around then or a little bit later than then. But Valley Elf just makes me think of all of these elves standing around and going, like, oh my god, is that a bow? Oh, I used to have a bow, but then Daddy got me a long bow. It's so long, like, oh my god. And I can't get that out of my mind. They're valley elves. Oh my god, are those humans? Oh, like, gag me with an elf spoon. Yeah, I mean, it's a stereotype from the 80s, but the idea that, like, these elves with credit cards, and I don't know. Anyway, the valley elves are pretty much gray elves, but they're even more reclusive, moody, and withdrawn. You notice that neither of these traits, neither the reclusive, moody, withdrawnness of the valley elves, nor the, like, angry xenophobia of the Gruagach, like, make them more interesting? They just make you less likely to run into them. Anyway, the point is that the Valley Elves are a feature of the world of Greyhawk. Now, we mentioned a couple episodes ago that we got some Greyhawk content in the Dragonelle. And here we get World of Greyhawk all in caps with a trademark, which is not true of the World of Greyhawk notation in the Dragonelle entry. So we're still, like, we're in the actually watching the process of the evolution of TSR's soul-killing 1980s house style. But that's really interesting to me. And there's a lot of detail about what these guys do, which did in passing remind me that there's a place in Greyhawk called the Duchy of Jeff. Anyway, the point of it all is that these are elves who are specific to a particular campaign setting. And that's actually fine, and I guess that's probably true of the Grugach as well? I don't really know. But this makes a little bit more sense, and I do sort of get the value of these two types of elf as examples of how different elven communities might work. Because, you know, I mean, elves are just, they're not just like people, but like people, different communities of elves that have different cultures, different norms, different whatever. And that would be even within the distinctions of the different broad categories of elf. So I do like the idea that the Grugach and the Valley Elves, sorry, it's still funny, are examples of the variation that is possible within the range of this species, this culture. So that's good. Furthermore, I wonder if these two subtypes of elf are a reaction to a game in which elves were getting a little too goody-goody. Because the Grugach and the Valley Elves, what they have in common is that they're not necessarily bad guys in a, like, moral cosmological level, but they don't like you, and they could very well be antagonists. They might wind up raiding your kingdom. They might shoot you with arrows if you try to pass through their wood. They are obstacles that you're going to have to overcome in some way, whether that's by fighting them or avoiding them or figuring out what they want and giving it to them or something like that. But you should not default to the presumption that they are on your side, which I think is how maybe increasingly a lot of scenarios or a lot of campaigns were treating elves, right? Is that they were de facto good guys. That on one side you got humans and dwarves and elves and halflings and gnomes, and on the other side, you got all those rotten old orcs and goblins and kobolds and what have you. So this may be an attempt to reintroduce some of the traditional danger and uncertainty into elves who had become a little too familiar. And that's going to be something that we're going to see happening, I mean, not just in Dungeons & Dragons, it's a well-known problem in genre media, right? Which is that gradually monsters lose their impact. And you see this almost with the introduction of other fantastic species in more recent editions of Dungeons & Dragons, where, you know, Dragonborn were introduced as, you know, the cool new guys to kind of replace or supplement creatures like elves and dwarves and halflings that were by now seen as kind of conventional, but have now entered the ranks of conventional species themselves with the same kind of default assumption of being kind of cuddly and lovable. So I wonder if this is an attempt to deal with that problem by almost sort of reminding people, hey, elves can be difficult people to deal with, and just because it says alignment good or alignment neutral does not mean that they're not going to be your opponents, because there are obviously, there are conflicts in which two sides who are basically both okay can be on opposite sides. The Grugach's desire to be left alone is not an evil desire. You're the ones who are breaking their custom, perhaps through no fault of your own. So, okay, in a sense, I understand the value that these two different types of elves serve. Obviously, in a perfect world, they would have been in the main elf entry in 1977, but there's nothing we can do about that now. We're faced with the old hotfix on a hardback problem, right? We're just going to have to keep adding new material because we have no way to remove or modify old material. It's a book. I wonder how this is handled in subsequent editions. I do have the second edition Monstrous Manual, and it's very possible that we'll do it after we do this one. Only the new entries, obviously. We're not going back over the same old stuff. Or we might do the Creature Compendium or whatever it's called for regular D&D. Anyway, there's a bunch of options. And we're still on E. You know, those are decisions that are a long way in the future. So I do think that there's a value there. I grudgingly accept it. But maybe I just feel that these interpretations are of only limited value because that is already how I tend to present elves. As you will know if you listen to the special episode, is that this, the introduction of these two types of elves wouldn't change how I was running elves in my campaign very much because I wasn't. I don't include elves in the Nicey Nice coalition, and I just episode before last got done talking about how I don't put dwarves there either, right? So for me, this is not a useful corrective. It's just additional and possibly unnecessary information. But for many campaigns, it might be a useful corrective. So, nothing wrong with that. Okay, there's just two more monsters in the e-chapter, and we'll be talking about them next time. So please join me as I talk about the Elfin Cat and the Executioner's Hood on Monster Man. A show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.